everyone, welcome back to the Infinite Potential podcast. Today we've got Gurdeep Aujla.
Yeah.
Gurdeep is a good friend, well experienced in psychedelic use and how to assist that in consciousness evolution. He's also a business owner and quite a high level thinker. So thanks for popping by, mate, and coming on.
No problem at all, mate.
Right, tell us a little bit about your background and what's been going on.
Background, so where do I start? Went to school, finished school, went to college, studied business, really didn't like it, got kicked out of college? Got kicked out of college.
What for? What was that for?
Causing trouble mainly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
daily.
Scrapping?
Scrapping, yeah. Got into alcohol quite early on. Ended up going to a different college to study music production, which is where I originally sort of really began to feel my juices flowing. And that's when I understood and realized that I really had a connection with sound. Finished college eventually, dropped out of that college first.
What was you studying at college?
Music technology, music right. Tech, yeah.
Right.
Dropped out after the second year, worked for a year in an office, went back to college to finish up, and then ended up in uni.
Doing what?
Studying business. No, in fact, actually, my first year was what I thought would be music related, but it ended up being a lot of theory and I didn't enjoy it, so I dropped out of that as well. It's like an inverse, actually, thinking about it now. First I did business and music, then I did music, then business, because after that I went back and did a marketing and management degree.
Right.
Which I did finish,
yeah.
Got a decent grade. And then, yeah, just went into the big world of work, working for someone else, corporate
yeah.
job, all the rest of it. And then fast forward a few years, realized over that period that working for someone else just didn't sit right with me.
Mm.
Needed to do something else, and then just sort of went headfirst into property, really.
Yeah.
Having done a few courses here and there and just learned as I went.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, man. So you mentioned you got into drinking quite early.
Yeah.
Are you talking 16, 17?
Yeah. Yeah.
Heavily.
Heavy for that age.
Right.
Yeah, you know, a bottle of Bacardi between four of us and then go into a lesson.
Well,
you know, just wrong crowd, wrong place, wrong time. Actually, no, probably right place, right time, because I'm here now, aren't I? So.
Well, when you're looking on soap, mate, yeah. Yeah, but how did that affect you? Because I know alcohol.
Well, yeah, as a lot of us probably know, it sort of altered the way I thought, altered the way I acted. But mate, in that moment, I didn't know any different.
No.
I was just doing it just to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I enjoyed it, if anything, at that time. I enjoyed wreaking havoc, destroying things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that's from your past somewhere? You're rebelling against something?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. You mean like past traumas? And
maybe, yeah.
Could well be. Looking back, I was probably escaping things that I was probably not even aware of as a 16-year-old boy. But I have learnt a lot from it.
Yeah.
I still enjoy the odd pint here and there.
Yeah.
I love whiskey.
Would you consider yourself alcoholic as you move forward? Because at 16, I'm assuming you weren't an alcoholic.
No.
You were just drinking to have a laugh with your
absolutely.
Mates.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. No, I wouldn't consider myself an alcoholic then, but I was in uni.
Really?
Yeah. I spent a year drinking, probably daily.
Yeah.
Mm, sort of, you know, wake up and have a Stella sort of thing.
Really?
Yeah.
It's intense, man. So you what, yeah. Proper like, that's proper alcoholism, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
First thought is, oh, I need to go and have a drink.
Yeah, exactly. I need to go and have a drink.
Wow.
Not want.
I never knew that.
I need. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I was in a dark place for a long time.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like depression and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, very anxious, depressed. Never touched on suicidal thoughts. But yeah, man, for a year, pretty much straight. I drank. Ended up off the back of that, getting alcohol induced acute pancreatitis twice. First time I was in hospital for about a week on a drip, nil by mouth. And even after that, didn't hit home the effect it was having, truthfully, on my body.
Mm.
Soon after I got out, drank, carried on drinking. Went back in the second time, not too long after, for 2 weeks. And this time it wasn't so great, because the first time I was given my own room. I got lucky, en suite, the lot.
Right.
Second time I went in, I was in a room with 6 or 7 other chaps, all in their 80s plus.
Right, right.
The guy next to me was shitting into a bag.
Oh, man.
Just stunk every hour or so.
Yeah.
And that's when it hit home. And throughout the night, I used to have to get checkups and injections and whatever else. And it was when this young Indian chap doctor came in. And he was just very real with me. His words were, "What the fuck are you doing to yourself?"
Yeah.
And it sort of hit home. You know, I was a young Indian lad. He was a young Indian lad.
Yeah.
You know, completely different situations.
Yeah.
And then a switch just went off in my head. I was like, that's it. I can't keep this up.
Mm.
I can't be in a hospital bed next to these lot. At the time I was 21, 22. So they say, don't they, you have a shift around these certain ages.
Yeah,
and I guess that was mine. It was just such a beautiful wake-up call. Like, I'm so grateful for it. I can't even explain.
Yeah,
Off the back of that, I started to explore weed more and other substances. Just really eye-opening experiences. Off the back of stopping alcohol.
Off the back of stopping alcohol or the back of starting weed?
Both.
Right.
Both, I guess. It's a knock-on effect, wasn't it?
Mm.
Just wanting to explore other avenues.
Do you not think you were just changing one for the other?
No. Maybe a little, but I wasn't abusing them.
Right.
Like I was with alcohol. Mm. I didn't need them.
Yeah.
I was just more interested in removing filters in a different way.
Mm. Cool. So the addiction's a big problem in society as a whole, especially alcohol, because that's just legal and heavily promoted and everything else. When you were in that place, what did you need from somebody? I know the doctor did it when you hit rock bottom, which is generally the case of a lot of people. They need to get smashed around the head a couple of times.
Yeah.
But what could you have had from somebody else in order to shook you up? Would words have done it?
For me, I don't think so.
No.
I wasn't willing to listen to anyone.
Yeah.
I was just 100% rock and roll, move out my way. I'm doing this. No one can stop me.
Yeah.
I think for me, it had to come from me. Obviously, the doctor who spoke to me was the catalyst, but ultimately, it had to be my decision.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how everyone else operates because we're all different, but I think some people just need to kick up the arse.
Yeah.
Some people just need to understand that they are escaping something. Yeah. Half the time, they don't want to be pissed.
No.
They're just running away because it's a temporary escape. They come back to reality. They're not happy with that reality because of how they relate to it.
Yeah.
And as we all know, as it goes, they need a higher dose of whatever it is they're taking the next time. And it's just down, downward, downward, downward.
Just numbing the pain.
Just numbing the pain.
Yeah. So, what is reality then?
What is reality?
If they're escaping reality, what is it that they're trying to escape from?
Well, I think our experience of life is based on our perception and our belief systems. And those are made up of our upbringing, our childhood, how we relate to things. And if their way of doing that isn't true to them, then it's their gut and their soul, or whatever you want to call it, telling them that something's up. And instead of facing that and going through it, they're turning away from it, which is the easier thing to do, because change is traumatic. It's tough, man. It's really tough. It's all right for me to sit here and, you know, I'm not preaching to anyone because I don't do that. We've all gone through change, but I know when it's you in that situation, it's completely different, isn't it? When it's yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, I've just had to go through a massive shift. I've been through a huge shift because I was forced into that position. But ideally, you want to be in a place, I think, where you're changing by choice, not reaction.
Responsibility, man, as well.
That's it, being accountable for you. So easy to point the finger and say it to them. But how empowering is it when you finally look within and say, shit, I'm here because of me.
The power's in there, man.
I'm in this job, I'm living this life, whatever it is, because of me, nothing else.
And that's that is the power that's within you. But it's too easy in society, especially with everything that's coming in all the time from the media and whatever, to just give power away to everything else. And you're left with nothing. You've got nothing left. So
we were discussing the other day when we met for a drink, if you remember, about I've lost my train of thought.
Objectivity, I think you might have been on about. You know, when we said, like, is reality what you perceive through subjective experience, or is the truth, is there a reality? And then we perceive it differently to what it is.
Yeah. So is it objective or subjective?
I think it's absolute. I think it's objective. I think it's absolute. You can't change it.
Yeah.
And I think our perceptions and belief systems are just illusory. And the closest that we can vibrate, if you like, for the new agey term, to the level of absolutism or truth or whatever, is the higher your life will be, if you can use that metaphorically.
You know what I mean? Agreed.
The further away from that, the more pain you'll be in.
Yeah.
The more you need to escape from the pain in order to get closer to what's true.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's getting harder as time goes by and information just gets more and more to reach that, because of how much we're bombarded with stuff?
Yeah, it's two sides of the coin then. It's like, it's like anything, it's neutral. Information's neutral. It's what you do with the information that is it's just ignorance now to not be aware of what's going on in the world. And if you don't stand up against what's false, you may as well just be doing the falsity, aren't you? If you don't stand up against it, then what's the point? I think you've got to, truth stand on its own. Like, you don't need to defend truth, because it always finds a way to mold itself into, it's the substrate. Falsity sits on top of it and has to be defended and everything else. So when you have, like, you know, the feminists and that, and they all say, well, we're strong, independent women. Well, if they didn't, they wouldn't have to say that. If they were strong, independent women, they wouldn't have to say.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Rattles a few feathers, but that's just the way it is. So,
agreed.
Yeah, man. So I've got a question. What is a man?
What is a man?
Not physiologically.
I'm just, all the thoughts are running through my head about how many people I'm about to offend. I think a man is someone who understands their role in society and their role to themselves. I think historically, men have had their roles to play, and so have women And we just were built to do things in a certain way.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, we're living in a different age now, but it's still applicable in this day and age. I think a man is the person who provides the strength, the provider, and the person who supports the feminine. I think you can't have one without the other.
No.
I do think that they're equal completely, because dark, light, yin, yang, it's all one. It's a big question. That is,
it's very huge. Simple, but it's difficult to answer.
It's huge.
Why do you think there's an attack at the moment on like strong men?
Because I think there's I think there's an agenda to feminize males.
Why would that be?
Because it's easier to control.
Yeah, I agree with that, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
If all the men are weak,
who's left to stand up?
That's it. That's it.
You know.
Against tyranny and everything
all
else.
All that bad shit. It's tough because I see a lot of it, especially on social media, where men are confused. To me, it seems anyway. Mm. I've got nothing against transgender folks. You got to do what you got to do at the end of the day. As long as you're a good person, I think, then live your life, man. I'm not here to judge.
Mm. But I don't think that should be normalized. That shouldn't be something that's normal. It's like
normal, celebrated.
Yeah, it shouldn't be celebrated.
Yeah,
I don't celebrate being a white heterosexual man. Mm. So why should anything be celebrated? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Is it because it's false that they have to provide celebration? Are you with me? So they're sort of defending it. We've got this day and this day. Why do you need that day for?
Yeah.
Morgan Freeman did it, I think it was, on about Black History Month or whatever. He said, I'm not quoting him, but he said something along the lines of, don't put my race in a month.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's far bigger than that.
Yeah.
And I 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
You know, you can't put races into a month. You can't.
No.
You know, we're all beautifully as we need to be as we are, you know.
I think it's a mixture of the human brain trying to categorize things and put things into genres. Like, I work a lot with music, and some of the stuff I produce or have ideas about, I'm asked, oh, what genre is that? And I'm like, why? Why is that your first question? Just let it be.
Mm.
It is what it is.
Mm.
It doesn't have to fit into a box all the time.
Yeah.
Alongside everyone being offended these days. It's in to be offended.
It's embarrassing. Yeah. You heard about that dude in America?
Which?
The black guy. What's his name? Juicy something. Mm-hmm. He's a black guy. And he was on a program. I can't remember. It's an American thing. And he's organized an attack on himself and staged the attack on himself by two Nigerian guys. And the Nigerian guys have stitched him up, saying he paid us to do it to him. He's gone to prison.
What sort of attack? Like harm?
Put a noose around his neck.
And recorded?
Yeah, and said, this is MAGA country. Make America great again. You know, the hats that they wear.
Yeah.
The Donald Trump supporters and whatever, put the hats on.
Yeah.
And he staged it in order to be a victim.
Yeah.
To get a pay rise.
Right.
What's that, man?
What's that?
That's psychopath, that is.
That's another side of the coin where people act like dickheads online to get views and notice and money. Do you remember? It's quite a new thing, really, in the history of the internet. Like, before, what was YouTube used for?
I don't know.
It was used for whatever it was used for. But now you see a lot of people acting like dickheads.
Just to get likes and
millions of views and getting paid stupid amounts of money.
Yeah.
So I think it could be an element of that as well.
Yeah.
But mainly, look at me. It's the victim mentality, isn't it?
Yeah. External satisfaction and validation. Like, validate me and tell me I'm good enough.
That overload.
Yeah.
That on steroids.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
So backwards.
Yeah. But like, the ideology that the victim ideology, and we are owed something, I am oppressed.
Yeah.
All that just completely gives every sense of responsibility away.
Yeah, absolutely. And you see it across all cultures.
Yeah, you do.
You know, it's not just let's one. Not just target the Yanks.
No, it's magnified in America because it's the free, in it, free country, so it's magnified, but it's everywhere that. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. I think once you see people in the business world, and once they completely own their own shit, mate, they just fly, man. They're just you can't stop them.
Yeah.
But once you start, oh, the tax man, this, and the more of hurting me, whatever, they're going to be stuck.
That's the beauty of it, though, isn't it? It's, yes, it's the business world. Yes, it's general life. It's fucking everything. It's everything, not just business world. Like, you apply accountability to your life.
Yeah.
And you've got so much more to give.
Yeah.
To yourself, especially.
Yeah.
Which, as a knock-on effect, means to everyone else.
Yeah. I remember someone said to me, I think I was 18, I was a little prick, and someone said to me, no one knows you're nothing, man. And I thought, yeah, you're so right.
Yeah.
I mean, it hurt me at the time because my ego took an absolute smashing.
I think going back to what we were talking about before, that is what the doctor said to me in different words.
Yeah.
No one knows you shit.
Yeah.
Pull it together, son.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, that's true.
And it's so, you know, you hear it and you just want to curl up into a ball. Like, oh, don't tell me this. But once you let it settle and you sit with it for long enough,
yeah,
to understand the lesson, that's when the magic happens.
Yeah, man. Yeah. What do you think is in the world today? What do you think is one of the biggest societal issues?
Separation, borders, I'm different to you.
Yeah.
Oh, you're that religion. Nah, that's not right.
Yeah.
You believe this. Nah, that's not right. Just separation.
Mm.
It's literally the opposite of what we are.
Yeah. That's that's a very high level of consciousness to be at that. If in the world today, that to me, that's what you'd label as like the perfect earth, but humanity's not perfect.
Mm-mm.
So if you have no borders anywhere, there'd be fucking mayhem. I say this all the time. If you put 10 football hooligans, lager louts in the middle of Islamabad, they're going to cause a shitstorm, aren't they? Because cultures won't mix.
Yeah.
So like you do that here and the cultures don't mix. Mm. So there's always problems.
Mm.
Until humanity raises its consciousness, that can't happen.
Mm.
And politics, as illusory as it is, and authority, which I can't stand, that has to...
It has its place.
It has to, in the context of... I'm using borders as the content, but like, until humanity can rise itself, how can that happen? I don't think it can.
No, I don't think it can either. So what would you like an answer that's more relatable to today?
Yeah, give me one, yeah. Well, what have you got? I don't care what you thought.
What was the question, remind me?
What do you think is the biggest societal issue we've got?
Biggest societal issue? Lack of understanding of each other. I think, especially in London.
Yeah.
Just as one example.
Yeah.
I visit London. My brother lives in London. I visit once every few months, and just the general vibe, you know, you make eye contact with someone on the tube and it's like, why are you looking at me?
Yeah.
It's like, what? You know, we're just two little sardines in a metal tube. Kind of, you know, let's have a smile at each other.
Mm.
It goes a long way. I think, yeah, at the heart of that, again, is separation. But
separation is the root of all suffering.
Mm.
Once you've touched it, whether you use psychedelics or whatever, once you touch it and you realise that there isn't, then you can see at that level of understanding.
Yeah.
like, and you see it's so stupid, it's like moronic.
So what we're saying is then 5 MEO for everyone.
I've said it before. I don't know. It might have been Graham Hancock. He said something like the president of the US should do ayahuasca 3 times before they go into office. I mean, it's funny, but it's probably quite potent as well, to be fair.
I'm laughing because of just the thought of that actually being...
Imagine Donald Trump.
No, I can't imagine it, man. No.
Yeah, but I think that psychedelics, in order to raise what we mentioned, human consciousness now, that needs to elevate itself in order to have peace and whatever across the collective, I think psychedelics play an absolutely huge role in removing the filters of illusion. Like, rather than giving you anything, it's the removal of the illusion.
Yeah. Whatever substance you choose to take, then it's the answer was in you anyway.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is. Ayahuasca is obviously something we've both done, and we can vouch for the learnings within that. But we know that the medicine works with you. The medicine's going to be the medicine at the end of it, but you are the one who brings, you know, walks through the door.
Yeah.
That's just the key.
Yeah. So what psychedelics and mind-altering substances have you participated in? Including alcohol, am I?
Yeah, okay. Alcohol, cannabis, if used in certain contexts, ayahuasca, smoked DMT, mushrooms, LSD a handful of times. Ketamine.
Yeah.
And a couple of others.
Which ones?
No, I'm playing. Mind altering. I was going to say coke, but that's just a
party drug or
party. Yeah. That's one of those that you have with a bit of a drink and you hand out to everyone else.
End up buying everybody drinks and
the most expensive one. And you just, come on, lads, to the toilet we go again. But yeah, no, those are the things I've decided and chose to dabble in the past. I'm 31 now, so I view them differently now as time goes on and we mature.
Yeah.
And I've got a different relationship with them. Any time now that I choose to get involved with anything, it's not just to get fucked up. You know, ayahuasca's never that, obviously.
No.
But it's interesting to see where the mind goes having used these substances over time and how you then relate to them when back in those realms of filter removal territory.
Do you buy into that? I think it was Aldous Huxley where I first read that, and it sort of changed my opinion. Because I always used to think that it'd give you this experience. Now, Aldous Huxley said it didn't. It actually removed everything that is illusory.
Yes.
And what's left is
100%, man. 100%. And you could apply that to bad trips. You know, I've heard so many people in the past, you know, who have taken something and they went west with it and it was that substance's fault.
Mm.
But it wasn't. It was whatever was already inside of you amplified.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely. Who was that? Huxley?
Aldous Huxley. Yeah. Doors of Perception.
Nail on the head. Mm. Nail on the head. It removes all of the background noise.
Yeah.
And what you're left with is probably an amplification of the unconscious and your subconscious, which we know is pretty much makes up most of how we operate.
Yeah.
And some people just ain't ready for that.
No.
I've been there. I've been torn to pieces because I was presented with this monster inside me, the shadow.
Mm.
And I was just, I think deep down I knew it was there. I was just was not ready to face it. And I just couldn't at that time let go. Because as I said before, change is so traumatic.
Yeah.
You have to die. before you can let something new in. And people, I think we're just wired to not want to do that.
Mm.
But that's the beauty of life. I think we're here to grow and to change. It has to be an initiation. So the bigger the pain, the bigger your troubles, the more powerful the initiation, the more you'll have to give on the other side if you can get through.
Well, Peter Sage calls them graduation events.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. Old Sagey.
Yeah. It's a good metaphor.
Metaphor king.
Yeah. I'm a big believer in all that. Like, you know, the events in your life that
shape you.
Yeah. People think that they're the worst things. They're not. They're always the best. Yeah. Every time. You hear it all the time. Yeah. It was the worst time of my life, but
yeah.
I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful.
It's a retrospect, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I think when you're in it, it's happening now. It's, for me, I can only speak from experience, it is literally impossible, especially if it's really bad shit, to see the lesson. You just can't. You just have to trust the process, man, and just give it a bit of time. Allow hindsight to kick in and just take your time with it. But you have to, it's essential to sit with it. When the emotions come up off the back of the event and the feelings and all that crap inside you, when they come up, learn how to sit with it. Don't run away. And that's one thing I've had to learn in the last few months.
Yeah.
When shit was coming up, I was just, it's so funny now. A thought would come up, which would lead to an emotion, which would lead to a feeling, which would lead to a thought in my head. Let's go to the fridge. What's in the fridge?
So you were eating.
Eating. Turning the music up louder.
Yeah.
Anything to run away.
Yeah.
And there came a point, once I had done that pattern, I don't know who's counting, 50 times, 100 times, 200 times.
Yeah.
I thought, hold on. Well, there's a pattern here. Maybe if I change that pattern, I'll get to a different place. And lo and behold, you do. You start feeling better.
Yeah.
You start thinking, oh, actually, you know, that mantra I live by, that everything happens for a reason, it is.
Yeah.
It's true.
It is true.
It is true, no matter what happens.
Once you have that like mindset that whatever is thrown at you is actually there for your benefit.
For you.
Yeah. Everything's for you rather than
to you.
It's a bit an egotistical way to look at it.
Perhaps.
But once you have that mindset, you can never be defeated. You're in complete power all the time.
But man, sometimes having an egotistical view is cool, man.
Yeah, and it's efficient. It works.
It's fucking efficient.
Yeah.
Because it serves you.
Mm. Yeah.
It's okay sometimes to say, you know what, this is about me.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
Yeah. If you can't help yourself, you can't help anybody anyway.
Exactly.
If your mission in life is to serve 100 million people.
Yeah.
But you can't serve yourself.
You're doomed.
You're doomed. You're wasted. There's no point.
Yeah.
You might as well go and work at McDonald's.
You can't do it. And there are a lot of people out there who are trying to do that, i.e. PTs, gurus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who haven't done the work.
Yeah. Like, I see 25-year-old. I'm only 27. But I see 25-year-old, like, people giving
self-help
I'm thinking, come on. I mean, have you been through that much? I know there's obviously the enlightened, you know, he might have meditated 10 years of his life or whatever and got enlightenment and whatever, but that's very few and far between. I hear some of the things and I'm thinking, this guy's just speaking from the books. It's all book smart, it's all intellect. There's no experience in that.
Yeah.
And I think, like, for example, you can't, like, it's like explaining how to ride a bike. You can't explain to somebody
Exactly. Just, you've got to do it. I think experience and wisdom are two different things. Yeah. Knowledge and experience. Knowledge and wisdom are two different things.
Yeah.
You can't have the wisdom without having experience.
They sit together.
So yeah.
Very often, I find to gain wisdom, you go through the knowledge and then experience the wisdom through the knowledge.
It's an interesting way to look at it. I see it more as like you have to experience it before you get the wisdom.
Yeah.
But here's the paradox.
Yeah.
I'm reciting what I read in the book from Joe Dispenza.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
When you said that then?
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It just
yeah.
falls in on itself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've had that experience when I was on ayahuasca.
Yeah.
Is that, it was like a loop.
A loop,
like
yeah.
time was like a loop.
Feedback loop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
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 That's a mad, that was a mad sensation. And to be fair, you know, every now and again, something happens and it takes you back there.
Yeah. What, deja vu?
No, back to when I was under the influence of ayahuasca.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And it, something happens and yeah. it's just completely out of the blue. It's yeah. no real relevance. And yeah. it just takes you back to that specific point.
Yeah.
Think, what can I take from that and yeah. link the two? And,
absolutely, yeah.
yeah. Ayahuasca, I mean, I personally wouldn't recommend people to do ayahuasca unless they are really ready to sort themselves out.
Yeah.
Don't do it for jokes.
No.
Because you're going to be in for a hell of a time if you do that.
Do you think the people, majority of people who drink ayahuasca are troubled or have deep work to do? Or do you think there's people out there who are absolutely cool, happy with themselves, content? Because the people I've come across, myself included, are people who need to do real deep work to get the layers pulled back.
Well, I think you're sort of called, to be fair, rather than something you just want to do. I think there's something deeper, maybe in the spiritual realm or celestial realm, if you want to go into the esoteric. But I think there's something that makes you go and experience the shamanistic rituals and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go into too much of the, you know, esoteric stuff, whatever, but maybe you've been through it before and you're going through it again, or, do you know what I mean? And you've got traumas that you need to work through in order to become your best self.
Yeah.
It's not something, it's not like you go to Silicon Valley and at lunchtime go and drink tea, is it?
Mm-hmm.
You do smoke a bit of DMT. I think they do that in Amsterdam, the businessmen go and smoke some DMT at lunchtime.
Yeah.
And then go back to work.
So well, Silicon Valley, they're on stimulants and stuff, aren't they?
But there's microdose on LSD as well, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's big over there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Creativity and everything.
Yeah. Probably off the back of Steve Jobs.
Yeah, he was big into it, wasn't he?
Big time. But yeah, going back to what you were saying about people who need to do deep work, I think some people fall into the trap of they have the calling, they go and drink, but forget that. The integration is just as important.
Yeah.
And they don't, they miss that step.
Yeah.
So they end up back there.
Yeah.
Every other month.
Yeah.
And they're just battering themselves physically, mentally. And that's a scary place to be. It can be a scary place to be as well.
I agree. So the main part, I think, is
the integration.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Otherwise, there's no point, is there?
Yeah. Because you get this, as you know, this massive, massive thousands of years worth of download of knowledge. And then you just sort of, you have to be able to pick out the main points, what resonates with you, what's going to be most applicable right now.
Yeah.
And I found that journaling, it helped because my memory's shit. So I can just sort of go back to my book on my bedside table. Sometimes I just open up a random page and it always gives me what I need.
Yeah, yeah.
In some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. It's like alive, isn't it?
Yeah, man.
It's like working with you. You need this, read this quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Insane. Do you think then that drugs, and I say that very, very loosely, should that be legalized, do you think? All across the board.
Well, look at Portugal.
Mm.
They've done it and they're all right. They're having way less issues of overdose, etc.
Really?
Yeah, way, way less. But as we mentioned before, cultures are different, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I
think there's two sides of the coin with the argument. I understand both sides, to be fair.
Yeah. But then MDMA and things like that, they're being brought to the forefront to treat certain things.
Psychology, yeah.
Yeah. So I think they all have their role to play, and I think the powers that be are waking up to that. You know, the war on drugs is less there than it has been.
You can't war on anything and win.
No.
It's an impossibility.
Yeah, 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 precisely. But I don't think, I think there's too many people out there who haven't got the capacity to not take the piss with it.
Yeah. So maybe regulation over illegal.
Yeah, yeah. Loosen the laws a bit, but don't totally let people run free with it.
Yeah.
Because there's everyone's vibrating differently. Yeah. Different levels of consciousness, different levels of thought patterns off the back of that.
Yeah.
And some people are just wired currently to be addictive.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think if they were given the opportunity to get something willy-nilly, you wouldn't see them.
They'd abuse it.
They'd abuse it and be dead on the... You'd see a lot of bodies on the street.
Yeah. I'm going to be brutal.
Go on.
I say responsibility, innit?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe by doing that, you'd raise the level of consciousness on the planet.
Maybe.
Because the lower ones are gone. No, no judgment.
No.
But I'm just being real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it's as good an argument as any.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who said something before about, it's quite brutal, man, about the bleach?
What was that?
Bottles of bleach. Take the label off it and give it to everyone who ever drinks it. And dies,
yeah, yeah.
Then you know the dummies are gone.
Yeah.
Let's start again. Words to that effect.
Jason Christoph says stuff like that. Yeah. He says just let him kill himself then we'll
man, be left with the smart ones. It's brutal, especially in this day and age where everyone's offended.
Yeah.
But fuck, think, just take your belief system out of it a minute.
Just look at what's true.
Just be objective for a sec.
Yeah.
And it makes sense.
There's a guy in America, he has me heroin, man, and he says, I just let him...
Jesse,
just let them suffer and die.
Yeah.
You know, it's cruel.
Yeah. But
until they change, nothing's going to happen anyway. You can't say nothing to these people. If they're happy to just get drunk all day, every day, they have to do it.
Mm.
No one else. Mm. Nobody else. Mm. And this is why, like, on the 12-step AA programs, one of the steps is, like, you got to say it. I am an alcoholic.
Yeah.
You have to take responsibility
that's for ultimate it. Responsibility, yeah. Isn't it?
And then, which I think is one of the most profound steps, is giving yourself away
to something more than you.
Power,
yeah.
Whatever, however you see that.
Yeah.
And like, there's a will of God, if you like, for a term to be used.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that once you see people who've gone through it and made a success of it, they're very, very spiritually driven. All of them are.
100%.
And I think that plays a huge role in curing addiction.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I think God is just a term used just to make it easier for us humans to understand this thing that is way bigger than us, the divine.
Yeah.
I've been one of those guys who, obviously, I was born into Sikhism. Over the years, didn't sit right with me. Just because I never really, like you with authority, I didn't want someone else to tell me how to live. But now I can see, I'm not Sikh now, I'm not anything, but I'm everything too. I can see that these are not now in the Western world, but they were there, they were put there as a set of, not rules on how to live your life, but pointers on how to be as a person to get closer to that divine. I think there's a lot to say for that 12-step program.
Oh, it's massive. It's
hugely, hugely spiritual.
Huge successes.
Yeah, yeah.
In comparison to, like, Western medicine.
Man, that's another podcast.
Mate. Don't. You could talk for hours about how corrupt all that is. Let's talk a little bit more about addiction for a sec, because I know you've gone through it yourself. One of the steps as well on the 12th step is forgiveness and forgiving yourself and forgiving others. So a lot of people drink to escape pain, as we've said, as an example, but very often that pain comes from at home as a kid, childhood traumas and everything like that. I mean, you obviously don't have to go into details on that, but do you think that's why you were escaping as a young man?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I come from a broken home. Yeah. Mum and dad got divorced when I was pretty young. And at the time, yeah, you're a kid. You're a sponge, aren't you? Which I've learned in my older age. And yeah, off the back of that, you know, I was going through a lot of shit. Hanging out with my friends, not really knowing how to approach what was going on at home with them, if it was to ever come up, and being completely embarrassed about it.
Yeah.
Because I could not accept what was going on. It was too hard. It was too tough. Really? I just couldn't do it. I couldn't and would not do it. Not as a 13-year-old kid.
No.
Impossible. So, yeah, 100% think that is related to my addiction anyway, was related to things that happened at home. And even going past, you know, alcohol and all that, addictive personalities, the way you act, recognizing the patterns. Why am I actually doing this?
Yeah, yeah.
Something that doesn't serve you. You have to be able to look at that objectively just to take yourself out of it. I try and imagine it as two different things, which help me. I imagine myself sat on a one nice, comfy one leather seat, a sofa, looking at me, looking at the movie screen, as Spira calls it. Instead of being in it, you're sort of looking at it. The other thing I do is I pretend that I've got a pair of glasses on. If I'm feeling anxious or depressed, that's my depression glasses.
Right.
I just remind myself that I've got so many other glasses. If I just take them off for a bit, let's put on the other ones.
Yeah.
And that just helps me see past, because they're all top level stuff, aren't they? Once you get through the layers, is where the truth is.
Yeah.
And that's where the work is.
Yeah.
So, on a tangent there.
So forgiveness, do you think, once you release the energy that you're holding, I don't think it can be done in an hour. But like gradually over a few months, over a few years, once you keep releasing all this toxicity that you're holding for other people and for yourself, which is the main one, for yourself. Do you think that plays a huge role in the recovery of whatever you're addicted to?
I think it is the key to recovery.
Right.
Because you can't allow anything worth value in before you've let go.
Yeah, it's like putting clean water in a dirty pool.
Exactly, man. And to let go, you have to forgive and be responsible and all that other good stuff.
Yeah.
And I think not just that, it's like it's a concoction of a few things. Not just up here in your head, it's also your diet. Your exercise, do you move? Are you hydrated? What are you putting in? When are you putting it in? It's everything's one, mind, body, soul, all of that. So if you treat each aspect with respect, then it's sort of, it's naturally going to lift the other side up. It's like, imagine if you've got a bunch of taps which represent the different bodies of you. And they're all on and they're falling into one bucket. You know, if one's dirty, they're all fucking dirty.
As it filters down, it picks it all up.
It meshes into one.
Yeah.
So treat yourself, respect yourself enough to want to at least try to become better. In however you see fit. Everyone's going through their own stuff.
Yeah, man. But that's where compassion comes in.
Yeah.
Everyone's going through crap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some less or more than others.
Some it's less still or crap. More, but it's still crap.
I've seen multi millionaires. I'm talking hundreds of millions. I've never seen people so miserable in all my life. Or they're so poor, all they've got is money.
It's
horrendous. But then I've seen people who are on the street, they're miserable as fuck as well.
Yeah.
They've got no money either.
Yeah. But it's the same energy.
Yeah. Yeah, most definitely,
Do you think it comes down to unfulfillment, not having meaning?
Meaning's huge. But is the meaning, who's the no meaning? It's a philosophical question as well, isn't it?
I think, man, if you think there's no meaning, then you can have a tough life.
Or you are the meaning.
Mm.
Like, I'll ask you a question, I'll put a blog post up about this. What's the meaning of a giraffe? What's the purpose of a giraffe?
Just to be a giraffe.
To be a giraffe.
Yeah.
So therefore, what's the purpose of you?
Yeah, I guess.
So are you?
I think the we're able to think at a different level.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, most definitely.
So naturally, we want more than that.
Yeah.
Because we have to make it more complex as humans. Yeah. We just want it.
Yeah.
Has to be that way. I think our meaning comes with having a purpose. Who am I? Why am I here? For me, anyway, I only speak from experience.
Yeah.
And the closer I get to my truth, the more it presents itself to me.
Yeah.
If I ask the question and try and get an answer through meditation or day to day, why am I here? Who am I? It eludes me.
Yeah.
It's like it just disappears. Mm. But if I live my life by a set of values which allow me to become a better person, it's like it's a prankster. That question just reveals itself. This is your meaning.
Mm.
You are the meaning.
So if you live a moral life, answers get opened up onto you. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Revealed.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Yeah.
It's an interesting way. Yeah.
And that to me means having values. It means having a practice. It means having a routine.
Mm.
Waking up. Making my bed, hydrating, spending time in cold water.
The mornings, in my opinion, a morning routine. I'll tell you what I do, and my experience for it is I'll have like 2 hours, 3 hours in the morning where it's the same thing every morning, other than today, because we're doing a podcast, but other than today, same thing every day for 2 or 3 hours. And then it's very flexible then.
Name a few things that you do.
So I'll do an enema. Go to the gym, meditate, hydrate, and that'll be about it. Sauna. I haven't got a plunge pool, otherwise that'd be one, but I haven't got access to a plunge pool. So that's my morning routine.
So
and then I'll get into work.
Mind and body TLC.
What about yours?
Well, the things I just mentioned, alongside, enema's not every day for me. I do that 2 or 3 times a week, which I found really just, it's like a reset button.
Yeah.
And apparently there's no clinically proven research saying it works, but sometimes you've got to go past what the internet says and just feel.
Depends what you look at, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's it, man. Google experts.
Yeah. I used to think putting mercury in vaccines was a good idea. So.
Don't start, man. What else? So I'll exercise. And usually my main session is at the gym. So in the morning, I'll just get the blood flowing.
Yeah.
Getting upside down is really important for me. Gets the blood flowing, makes it work.
How do you do that? Handstands?
Handstands, headstands.
Yeah.
Some yoga poses.
Yeah.
Get that going as well. I've started to shift slowly more towards more and more time in cold water. I like to have it hot at the start just to get the grub off. But as soon as I can, get that cold, man.
Get
it cold. Because it's crazy, man. Whoever's listening that hasn't heard of it, the Wim Hof method, check it out. But the more I do it, the warmer the cold water is.
You acclimatized to it, eh?
Yeah.
It's good for parasites as well, apparently.
Yeah.
Cold water.
100%. And for your muscles, man.
Yeah.
For recovery.
Yeah.
So I think what I'm trying to say is, have your routine, and more importantly, perhaps, is be consistent with it. Because if you fall off the wagon after 3 days, then there's no real point starting.
Nah, that's true. That's true. I know when I used to play football and we had ice baths. Oh my God. We've been there for quite a while, to be fair, just getting the lactic acid out the legs and that. I had no nuts left, to be fair. At the end,
back up inside.
Yeah, we'll have to wait another hour and then come back again. Yeah, man. You mentioned earlier about broken families.
Yeah.
Broken families, I think, are playing one of the biggest roles in bringing up out of alignment kids.
Producing.
It's like, I think it's a bigger issue than racism and all this stuff that we get thrown at us all the time. I think the biggest one is broken families. And I think that a lot of that stems from women now thinking differently to how they thought 100 years ago, which is evolution, fine, that happens. But maybe the toxic feminism, neo-feminists who shave their hair and that.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, you don't need men. But like, that is creating breaks in families. Like, oh, we'll just move on. It's like a hobby now, isn't it? Marriage. You just move one to the right. It's like musical chairs. And I think that's having such an effect on kids going through school and that. And like yourself, you had a broken family and that, and you struggled to go through college and university with a stable mind and everything. I think that's more and more going to happen until we realise that. Until families, I think sex, having too much shagging all the time. People just go out now on Tinder and that and just start shagging everybody. Yeah. And there's a big issue with it.
Yeah. Maybe it's a lack of awareness for what is happening under the surface that needs to be brought to the attention.
Yeah.
But man, how do you even tackle that? Where do you start?
Back to home values, man. Morality.
It's a tricky one because like not everyone wants to hear that. Neo-feminist ain't wanting to listen to you.
She ain't got to. Well, it's like, well, what do we want? Do we want real progression and a society where people are free? Or do we want people that are causing havoc and crime and
well, of course, the former, yeah.
Where do we go? Because these progressives aren't progressive, they're regressing. By thinking, oh, we need to accept this and accept this because you're hurting feelings. What?
Yeah.
If we go down that route, you're going to fall into communism and Marxism. And that's a very dangerous game to play. There's no ownership of property. There's no ownership of business. It's all public. It's all government-owned. Very dangerous game. And I can just see us falling down that path.
I think there's got to be a way of making them realise in their own way that's going to resonate with them, right and wrong. And I know Sagey will argue that there is no right and wrong. But I think there is.
I do as well, yeah.
Because if you do scenario A, it's naturally going to go one way. Scenario B will go the other way. And one will be right, but more right than the other.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I'm explaining that well at all. So maybe it's a case of, I don't know, man. I guess a lot of these people, it's some assumption, but watch TV, listen to the radio, and all the rest of it, they get a lot of their input from those arenas.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a case of getting that onto the media.
It's not going to happen, man. They need division.
So then we're fucked.
So, you know, well, until people realise that it's a bag
to
rubbish.
Me and you talk.
Or the world will be fully enlightened if they listen to you talk, man.
Or, you know, the Czechs. Or the Aubrey Marks or whoever else.
Who do you consider to be one of the most influential people for you that you look up to?
Rogan.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He's master
because
podcast.
I think he's the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
He's intellectual. He has good people on. He knows how to hold a conversation. He knows when to talk and not to talk.
Yeah.
And he's just real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's authentic to fuck. He's not trying to be at something he's not. Yeah.
He fell out with Alex Jones.
I know. Well, more so Alex Jones fell out with him. Have you seen some of the videos?
No.
On YouTube, get onto Alex Jones versus Rogan. It's that popular. People have put together like
memes and that.
Not memes, but like shorter videos you can watch. Yeah. And Alex Jones is just, he's off his head, isn't he? He's like, because Rogan must have mentioned once, look, Alex, I'm still your friend. I think you're batshit crazy, but I'm still your friend. And he replies to him, I'm not your friend. I'm going to expose you as the CIA agent, this and that. But yeah, on the other side of things, Paul Czech,
yeah,
a bit more spiritual.
Yeah.
On that side of things, I think I enjoy listening to people who explain deep things in a really easy way to digest.
Jordan Peterson's like that as well.
Oh, man. Do you know, just like no bullshit.
Yeah.
This is what it is.
But the world needs it, big time.
The world needs more people like Peterson.
Yeah. He's a master.
Yeah. I got a lot of respect for him, for what he's doing. You know, this is me. this is what I believe and I'm going to stand by it till the end.
Yeah.
I like people like that. Yeah. I want to be around them.
Yeah.
Because I take a lot from them.
The universities are limiting his time. They won't like put him on stage.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit their BS.
No, that's true. Their socialist values, that's why.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas like living in it, like Jordan Peterson would label himself as a conservative on the illusory political spectrum. He'd put himself on the conservative side.
Mm.
They don't want that.
Mm.
In university campuses, because it's not progressive enough for them.
There's a system, whether we like it or not, school, college, yeah, uni, education, the workplace,
yeah,
corporate work. There's a system that benefits certain people. And if you're coming out with all this mad shit that they don't want to hear,
yeah,
or sorry, they don't want others to hear, then you're gonna get limited, aren't you?
Yeah, of course.
It's a shame. It's a shame. It's the world we're in, though, yeah.
It's what you choose to see, innit?
Yeah, yeah.
I suppose. But it boils down to yourself again every time.
It does.
You make your own reality.
Yeah.
Truth is true, but you create your subjective experience of it.
Mm.
Didn't you?
Mm.
Based on your vibration again. And
I hear a lot about this. The world is waking up. People are getting more woke.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think that's information. And people are reading more and alternative media sources, podcasts, YouTube and everything else. It's
social media has its place.
Oh, huge.
Yeah.
It's not positive or negative. So it's used, isn't it? Someone is saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it depends on the context again, but is the world waking up? I think there's more people aware now of how it's being manipulated for gain for the super elite to keep control of what's going on. And but you know what, people want to be led. They can't handle responsibility. And this is the main problem, is own your shit.
We're wired to want the easier route, born into sin and all that. That's just how we're wired. And that's part of our journey, I think. Call it woo-woo or, oh my God, this guy's away with the fairies. But I think we're here literally to learn and grow.
Yeah.
Hence why I invite the bad shit, man.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Give it to me.
Yeah. Earth school. Yeah.
I know in my heart of hearts that whatever comes at me, man, I'm strong enough to overcome it. I might be down in the dumps at the time, but I know I'm the sort of person who will bounce back.
Yeah.
And I think people need more confidence in themselves.
Yeah. I agree. Confidence comes from knowing thyself. Because once you realize you are it,
there's nothing else.
No.
I've had to learn the hard way, man. As I said, I come from a broken home and I was going through all that stuff. In those essential years, I had no father figure.
Yeah.
I've had to literally man up myself.
Yeah.
Which...
That's missing in society now. You know, the initiation from boyhood to manhood.
Yeah.
That's gone.
Yeah.
Usually because men are weak. The dads are weak. They don't discipline the kid now and say, well, you're a man now. Do that.
Yeah.
It's seen as toxic all of a sudden. What's that about?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Elliot Hulse.
He's a dude, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's a master at
that. Big Don.
And he lays it out as well. He lays it out perfectly.
Yeah.
It's going missing and we need to get it back.
Yeah.
Because the world is going too soft on falsity. The human mind cannot comprehend false and truth. It can't comprehend it. So you have to start discerning. You have to wake up that you don't. Wake up to the knowledge that you cannot comprehend truth from false and therefore look yourself from aware eyes. Because if you don't wake up, you're just floating around in this. And this is why I'm Freemasonic on the floor in the Masonic temples. They're black and white. That's not knowledge and ignorance.
The checkered floor.
Checkered floor, right.
Yeah.
So like people are wandering around on the checkered floor.
Ah,
and then they climb the ladder.
Right.
33 degrees of masonry. Ah, so that's what it is.
Cool, man.
Talk about this on Saturday.
Yeah, cool. Enjoy this. Yeah, sweet.
But yeah, and that's what's happening. people are wandering around. That's where the masses are. They're on the checkered board.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. It's all symbology.
And you know what? That's where they belong.
Yeah.
Because otherwise there's no initiation.
Yeah.
And there has to be. You see it in shamanism.
Yeah. What did they do in shamanism?
Thousands of years.
I know it's very different with different cultures.
Oh, yeah, it is, yeah. To name one, lads as young as 12, 13 are put into ayahuasca ceremonies. It's their initiation into manhood.
Wow.
Iboga. What's the other one? There's another one where they spend a week or so just fasting, using psychedelics every day.
Wow.
Left on their own in the woods, and then when they come back, they're now a man.
Mm.
There's meanings behind it. There's myth.
Yeah.
Myth is huge.
Joseph Campbell, man, read his stuff.
Yeah, myth is so important, and I think that's what religion is. The content, obviously, it was written by a man, but it's built on myth. It's not about the words you're reading. It's about what's behind it. You have to look between the lines. Like Hulse says, Jesus, when he walked on water, he didn't literally get on a pond and walk on the water. They refer to the water as it's symbolic of your emotions. So the alpha male rises above his emotions to look at them objectively.
Yeah.
Whereas a beta male is just carried around on the checkered floor.
Yeah.
I refer to them as floaters.
Yeah.
Interesting, you said they float about.
Yeah.
Never be a floater.
Yeah.
And to not be a floater, you need to fucking take responsibility.
Yeah.
Understand. You might be listening thinking, what do you mean take responsibility? You need to evaluate your life, look at what's not serving you, and say, this is me currently, and put a plan in place of how to go through that and stop avoiding it.
Yeah.
Because we all do it. I'm not sitting here pretending to be a guru of any kind. I'm just human too.
Yeah. Like Christoph says, let the pain train run over you. Stop running away from it, man. Let it just beat you up a little bit.
Yeah.
You'll be a much more rounded person once you've gone
through it. Yeah. Just laugh. Laugh at it.
Yeah.
Just invite it. I think when you can start, like, it's a Buddhism trait, isn't it, to just be neutral, positive or negative. Mm. Just let it flow.
Yeah.
Laugh, be happy. Mm. Don't like try and fight a happy emotion, for example, but just understand that positive and negative is just going to always flow through.
Yeah.
And don't attach yourself to them.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing with psychedelics.
Until you get into a state of like now-mindedness, which is like enlightenment to the high
loss
degree.
Of ego
complete death of the ego, which blunt, then you'll always have that, and you have to be objective to the good and bad. And that, I think once you eat that, thoughts are sort of, you can choose them.
Yeah.
I don't know, I've never experienced it, that sort of intellect, that's reading, but like until you get to that, you'll always have that, so you might as well be objective to them because they're not real.
Yeah, but I think it's a lot easier though once you've experienced it, even if you get a slight glimpse of it, which is, let's be honest, a way of doing it through psychedelics.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Once you've touched it, you never forget it. And it's easier in 3D land to navigate and not just be a floater.
Yeah. You're right, man. But we need to start wrapping this up. We've done an hour and a half nearly.
Have we?
Yeah.
Flew by.
So it's gone fast, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Enjoyed it.
Very much. Good. Nice one for having me on.
I've got a question.
Go on.
What is love? Let's finish it.
Not only the opposite of fear, but learning how to respect yourself enough to serve yourself to such a degree that you can then help others and lift them up. Love is discipline, collaboration, and respect for yourself.
Yeah.
Which, as a result, means respect for everything else.
Yeah. Spoken like an alpha man.
I think.
Cheers for coming on, man. We'll wrap it up.
Nice one, bro.
Keep your ears open for the next episode. Thank you very much for listening.